On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sports. Time On with Sam McClure.
For the Holden Colorado LTZ. For a limited time, get 3 years free scheduled servicing.
Prior knowledge of the ball tampering incident was limited to three players. Captain Steve Smith, Vice-Captain David Warner and Cameron Bancroft. No other players or support staff had prior knowledge, and this includes Darren Lehman, who, despite inaccurate media reports, has not resigned from his position. He will continue to coach the Australian men's team under his current contract. Tim Payne has been officially appointed captain of the Australian men's test team.
Well, I was absolutely gobsmacked when I woke up this morning and saw that Darren Lehman had kept his job. I mean, we go back a few years now, and Mickey Arthur, from memory, was fired by CA for asking his players to submit homework. Darren Lehman gets to keep his job despite overseeing a regime where his captain and vice-captain deliberately and willfully tried to gain an unfair advantage over South Africa. So you got to hand it to CA for their due process. It's just unbelievable.
9 minutes past six, another massive day for Australian cricket. Steve Smith, Dave Warner and Cameron Bancroft all sent home for their part in what has become the darkest story in Australian cricket history. Smith and Warner have also both been removed as captains of their respective IPL sides, and LG, the television and technology giant, jumping off David Warner and their personal sponsorship of him. But as Simon Kadich says, Darren Lehman survives, and the magnificent point that he makes, how has Mickey Arthur lost his job for what was homework gate, and yet Darren Lehman, the coach of a team that openly admitted to orchestrating cheating, keeps his. It is an unbelievable turn of events. Keen to hear your thoughts, and don't we have some prizes for our best callers and text messengers? 9429 1116, 0433 98 1116. In fact, with thanks to the Holden Colorado LTZ, we often on a Friday talk about what's been the biggest story, what's had the biggest impact on you, but Thursday footy tomorrow night, no Friday show. So, with thanks to the Holden Colorado, big on performance, big on technology, big on safety, where's the biggest apportion of blame for this? Who do you blame the most? Is it the captain who takes ultimate responsibility in Steve Smith? Is it what some call the mastermind of the cheating in Dave Warner? Or is it the man that was caught, Cam Bancroft? Or the coach who survived in Darren Lehman? Or is it, in fact, James Sutherland, the CEO himself? I've got a slab of Orangey Boom to give away. I'm going to cut it into four. We'll give away six packs. I've also got tickets, a double pass to Geelong Hawthorn. Easter Monday is going to be massive. And I've got a family pass to Good Friday, speaking of massive, North Melbourne and St Kilda for our best callers on 9429 1116. But let's head over to South Africa, where our own Jack Heveron has been good enough to jump on the line. We've been talking to him a lot, and he is the man on the ground. Jack, welcome once more to Time On. A huge morning for you, obviously, or what would have been an evening with James Sutherland. What do you make of it all?
Morning, Sammy. I think now that I've had a chance to sort of sleep on things a little bit, I'm still really clear in my mind that whatever's coming this afternoon, our time, so it's just gone 9 o'clock local time here in South Africa, yep, we're expecting that the sanctions will be handed down today, but probably later on this afternoon. And in fact, they might even be tonight, so they might even be while everyone's sleeping back at home. But I'm really clear in my mind that whatever's coming, particularly for David Warner and Steve Smith, probably not as much Cameron Bancroft, which is weird, but I'll explain that in a minute. But I think what's coming for those two is going to be pretty severe. And I reckon if anyone thought that this was just going to be swept under the carpet or that this would be moved on from pretty quickly, I'm really clear in my mind, Sam, that I think people might be surprised at how fierce some of these sanctions are going to be.
How fierce are we talking, Jack?
To me, and this is an argument that we were having sort of last night, a few of the journalists who were all here, we went and had a late dinner to try and, I guess, work it all out. To me, there's no harsher penalty than being the captain of the Australian cricket team and losing that captaincy position. So that'll be number one. I don't think there's any question there that Steve Smith won't be captain of this team. But I think there's going to be some substantial periods of cricket missed, certainly for David Warner, and I think probably Steve Smith as well. Now, whether that's the whole summer, part of the summer or whatnot, it's worth keeping in mind that there's a bit of a gap now for Australia from a scheduling perspective, where we've got a one-day series coming up in July in England and then some test matches in the UAE in October. Not a lot of cricket between now and then, Sammy. So I think Cricket Australia's got to be a bit careful with the narrative here, that if they say that it's a four-month suspension or a six-month suspension, well, what actually is 6 months in terms of cricket? So,
yeah.
I reckon they'll go down more the match path as opposed to the time frame path.
Jack, the other element I think is fascinating in this, and Michael Clarke, I think, said it particularly well today, and I'll read out what he said. He said, it was hard to believe for many, including high-profile players, too many reputations on the line for the full story not to come out. Cape Town change room is a very small place. The truth, the full story, accountability and leadership. Until the public gets this, Australian cricket is in deep shit. I agree with him. I think a lot of Australians do. And it begs the question, Jack, how much of this investigation into what has gone on do you think will be made public? Because I think ultimately the Australian public and fans deserve to know exactly what questions were asked and how they were answered.
I agree completely, and that's the feeling here too. So you're not on your own there, and I guess for Australian cricket fans, you're not on your own either. Everyone here is thinking the same. To me, Sam, if an investigation's done, and whatever the findings are, it shouldn't be a big deal to make them public. It shouldn't be a no-go zone or anything like that. And let's go back to what we were talking about earlier. Let's say David Warner does miss a lot of cricket. There will be people who will want to know why David Warner is going to miss that much cricket, or why Steve Smith has been stripped of the captaincy for good. So with that said, I think what we'll expect, and this is probably worth clarifying for now anyway, but I think what we're expecting here is that the sanctions will be handed down via a press release. It won't be another James Sutherland sit-down media conference.
Right.
And that's not what we believe to be a break in process. We believe that when something like this is happening with the code of conduct, it's actually written as process that it must be sent out as a press release. So that's not James Sutherland avoiding the media. I think that's just what will happen. So hopefully that's the first step, and hopefully that underlines a lot of what's gone on.
So, Jack, you think it should be, just to reiterate, and they're going to be punishments that are going to be released via press release, not via James Sutherland. You think it should be based on the amount of cricket missed, not just time, which makes much more sense.
Absolutely. I mean, that would be the equivalent of, I guess, from an AFL perspective, that would be like the equivalent of suspending someone from the grand final and giving them 4 months. Well,
yep.
What does that 4 months give them? It gives them nothing. They're going to miss December, November, December, January. What are they achieving in that time? Nothing. So, I think it's got to be... I'm okay with it, Sam, being a time frame, but as long as that time frame's meaningful. So if that time frame is 8 months, then that wipes out the whole summer.
Yep.
But if that time frame's 3 months, well, basically that's just annual leave. So they're being suspended while they're on annual leave in the first place. But again, I think it'll be more substantial than that.
Jack, appreciate your time as always. It's been fantastic having you over there on the ground covering the story for us across all our stations. Can't wait to hear what you've got for us tomorrow. I'm sure you'll give us the latest news as it comes to hand.
Good stuff. Thanks, Sammy.
Jack Everin there, SEN commentator in South Africa, thanks to Europcar and Tyre Power. Let's get through the calls. Starting Collingwood. Hello, Barry.
Yeah, g'day. Look, what a rubbish investigation by Cricket Australia. I mean, is it Warner and Bancroft are going to plot to change the condition of a 28-over ball without discussing it with the bowlers? I mean, it'd be like Federer's trainer deciding to change the tension of his racket before a final without talking to him. I mean, it's just rubbish. We all know it's rubbish. Come clean.
Barry, don't mind the analogy at all. In fact, take yourself a six-pack of Aranjuboom, Holland's finest import lager. Add some Dutch to your day. Quickly off the SMS, Dan in Alinda saying, I'm never watching Australia play Test cricket again until those involved are no longer a part of the Australian cricket team. Simple, they should all have been fired. Let's go to Dingley. Hello, Adrian.
Yes, I'm just talking about the press calling for the heads of Sutherland and...
Lehman.
And, well, my question is really, what is the role of Pat Howard in all of this? Mm. He's a high-performance manager, paid $700,000 a year, sitting in his Jollymont office, and knowing full well this was going to be a very acrimonious series... Surely to goodness, he should have been over there overseeing whatever Lehman and the rest of the side are doing.
Point well made, Adrian. Off the SMS, Mick says, Sam, if it's under a year at least, the Aussies public will go bonkos, and really the authorities should come under huge inquiry. Also, it's a joke. And Todd in Hobart saying, hi, Sam, do you think as a sporting nation we put too much pressure on winning, thus forcing such acts? Love the show. Well, perhaps, Todd, but if this amount of pressure forces them to consider cheating, then they shouldn't be in the game to start with, would be my point of view. Appreciate your text. Steve's on the road. Hello, Steve.
Yeah, g'day. Look, good show.
Thanks, Steve.
I want to make the point that, you know, as far as scalps go, I think the ACB board is the one that really needs to be under a lot of scrutiny. 12 months ago, they were in a really acrimonious situation with the players and the actual grassroots of the competition with the pay rise and, you know, the way they were trying to structure the pay rise for the players and to the detriment of the women's competition. I mean, I think you get a whole series of steps that incrementally can lead up to some negative outcomes. This is the worst outcome for cricket, full stop. But I hope that it's not just the three that are on their way back that are coming back that are going to pay the consequence. These people need to be dragged over hot coals. And this needs to be sorted out.
Look to the board, says Steve. Steve, take yourself a six-pack of a Ranji Boom as well. Appreciate the call. Point well made. Jeff is in Rosebud. Hello, Jeff.
How you going?
I'm well.
That's the way. Look, mate, it's really got to fall back on Lehman's shoulders. Reason being, I mean, this was not a spur-of-the-moment scenario. There has to be some planning done in this.
Yep.
There has to be more background. How long has this been going on for? No one said, did it go? I know Stuart Broad brought up the fact that did this happen when the Poms were playing here? Well, that's a fair question, and someone should be answering that because yep. I'm getting sick and tired of hearing not getting the full facts. So I feel like it's not a one-off. There's too much planning, and how Lehman's not involved in that has got me beyond me. I just cannot believe it.
And Jeff, your point, it reiterates mine to Jack, is that the investigation has to be made public because that question of how long has this been going on for should be asked. Jeff, do you follow the Cats or the Hawks or the Kangas or the Saints?
I follow the Saints.
Have yourself a family pass to see North Melbourne St Kilda. Good Friday blockbuster, 4:20 at Etihad Stadium. Secure your ticket now, ticketmaster.com.au. Good luck to the Saints, Jeff. Let's go over to Ballin. Hello, Mick.
Yeah, how you going, mate?
I'm well.
Yeah, I think it's a bit harsh by Caddies to call for Lehman's head. If you knew nothing about it, you can't control what's in the brain of players.
But Mick, should he have known something about it as coach?
Well he didn't. If every AFL coach got the sack from players messing up, we'd have no coaches left.
No, but this isn't players messing up, is it, Mick? This is cheating.
If Steve Smith knew about it and they approached him, he should have been man enough and had the balls to say, oh, this is not going to happen. If it does happen, I'll make sure that you don't play for Australia ever again.
Appreciate it, Mick. Off the SMS, Kevin in Pioneer Bay says, Sam Smith 6 months, Warner Life Bancroft 3 months, and the coach has to go. That's what Kevin says. More of your calls on 9429 1116. The Adelaide and the Richmond teams will be out in a sec. We'll give you those. And Xavier Campbell, the CEO of the Essendon Footy Club, up next. This is Time On for the Holden Colorado LTZ. Big on performance, big on technology, and big on safety.
The reports were, you know, there was a fair degree of inaccuracy in the reports. And for us, it was a camp which we went on, you know, based on areas we want to get better, and I'll never be an apologist for us trying to improve. And the mental space is a space which I think you're seeing a fair chunk of the clubs are actually working in. We've been in that space for a couple of years, and the camp was an opportunity for us to get better. And so we went on it, and it was what it was.
Adelaide coach Don Pike there at 27 minutes past 6. The Crows not happy with how this training camp has been portrayed. Reckon there might be a bit more coming out in the coming days about exactly what went on and some of the reaction to it. Speaking of the Crows, the teams are in for Adelaide and Richmond, the grand final rematch to the Adelaide Oval. How big is this going to be? Tigers fans, how excited are you? And is it just a chance to turn the knife after the grand final? The ins for Adelaide, Millera, Tex Walker is back, Jordan Gallucci and Matthew Signorello out. Andy Otten has been dropped, Hampton injured, Douglas suspended. We're clarifying the final out. No Tom Lynch as earlier reported. I think Sam Gibson on the team sheet is listed as omitted, even though he was a late out. Sometimes there is the technicality about the teams that were originally listed are the teams that they change from week to week, not necessarily the 22 that take the field, but we will clarify that. And just one change at Richmond. In Hooley, oh, no. In fact, we have two changes, do we, at Richmond? I'm reading two different things from Richmond's Twitter feed and also from what we are being told somewhere else. Richmond, I believe, has just made the one change. It is the one change. It is Bashar Hooley coming in and Nick Floston is out. He has been sidelined with what the club is saying, delayed concussion. So in Hooley, out Floston. Let's get back to the calls quickly. We're going to speak to Xavier Campbell shortly, but Brian's been waiting on the line from Hoppers Crossing. Evening, Brian.
Evening, Sam. About this Australian cricket thing, as far as I'm concerned, all the players knew about it. Tim Payne, the captain, he was a wicketkeeper. The ball's going to him. It's going through all the fieldsmen. They knew about it. Doesn't mean they participated, but they knew. But what I want to say is all the people have called for the inquiry or the investigation on it. They've done the investigation. Now they're saying we don't like what we hear. But they're not happy with what the investigation brought up. So if people aren't happy for a response of an investigation, don't call for one.
Well, what do you want to see out of the investigation as the punishments, Brian?
Well, I want to see the truth, and I'm hoping that Sutherland has told us the truth and what they've done there. Now, you and I, well, you've played the sport, Sam. The ball goes through everyone's hands. They know about it, but they didn't participate in it. And what they're saying is they participated in it. Knowing and participating are two different things.
Fair enough, Brian. Appreciate your call. In fact, Brian, have yourself a six-pack from Orangiboom, Holland's finest import lager. Add some Dutch to your day. Appreciate it, Brian. So just repeating those teams, there is only one change at Richmond, and that is in Bashar Hooley, out Nick Floston with concussion, delayed concussion, and there are two changes at the Adelaide Crows. In Tex Walker and also Wayne Miller, and out Richard Douglas, who has been suspended, and Kirtley Hampton, who the Crows say has an adductor. So two changes for the Adelaide Crows, one change at the Richmond Footy Club. Time to get out to Georgie Owen at tonight's Toyota Good for Footy Clinic. Hello, Georgie.
Thanks, Sam. Tonight we're down with the Whittlesea Eagles for round one of Toyota's Good for Footy program. It's all about grassroots footy and promoting AFL at a junior level across the country. We've got St Kilda's Luke Dunstan here. Thanks for joining us, Luke.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Now, you're originally from South Australia. Tell us how you started out playing football.
Yeah, I'm from down in the Clare Valley in South Australia. It's about 2 hours north of Adelaide, so it's a beautiful little spot. But yeah, I grew up, I had two older brothers, and I had no choice. Yeah, I got forced into it. But I started playing when I was about 5 or 6. And obviously, yeah, got beaten up a little bit in the backyard. But it was a pretty good culture down there, and all my friends and school friends played footy, so it was good.
Now, fast forward a bit, you're now one of St Kilda's toughest on-ball midfielders. Tell us how the team's looking for the 2018 season.
Yeah, we're looking really, really good. We've obviously got a lot of depth now going through our side. There's sort of probably 30 guys who could play every week. But, we've gotten off to a good start this year. We won last week against the Lions. So we've got North on Friday night, and that's all the Good Friday appeal and stuff. So, yeah, it's going to be another big game. And, the boys are confident we'll get another win.
Sam, that was St Kilda's Luke Dunstan here with the Whittlesea Eagles and the teams from South Morang Toyota. It's all for Toyota's Good for Footy program, supporting local legends.
Really excited. I've loved my first couple of years at the footy club, and we've got a plan in place to continue to build and grow and be successful over that period of time. So yeah, more than comfortable and excited about it.
Win the flag in that time?
Yeah, well, that's our aim, absolutely. We're not going on a slow build. You know, we want to get as good as we can as quickly as we can.
28 minutes to 7, Sam McClure with you, and that is the voice of John Worsfold, who has re-signed, recommitted as the coach of the Essendon Footy Club. A sensational turn of events, given what happened and where the club was at and where the team was at when he took over. It's been a story that's been bubbling away for a few months now. They've finally got the deal done, and the man who negotiated it, the CEO of the Essendon Footy Club, Xavier Campbell, has been good enough to join us. Evening, Xavier. A fantastic day for the club, not just the re-signing of a coach, but the re-signing of a man who, like you, stepped in at a time when the club was not on its knees. That might be too dramatic, but in a very precarious situation.
Yeah, thanks, Sam. Thanks very much for having me. Sorry for any background noise. I'm just at an event at Parliament House tonight for all the Bombers supporters in here. It's a at Parliament. But no, it's a good one for us. I mean, Worcester, he's added enormous value to our football club, both on and off the field over, you know, over a relatively short period of time, but a really challenging period of time. And, you know, for that, we're really, really thankful. But, you know, importantly, he's started to build a really strong, you know, football program. And that's, you know, that's ultimately what we're here to do. We want to win a premiership.
Xavier,
that's important.
Sorry to cut you off. I think one of the things that was talked about John Worsfold when he came to Essendon was that, you know, everyone at West Coast said that he was a great bringer together, for want of a better term, of people. You know, not necessarily the tactician that some of the younger coaches were, but someone that was able to put people in the right positions, bring people together, not only players, but people in the footy department. Has that been something that has stuck out to you as a CEO looking in?
Yeah, and I think that's absolutely right, Sam. It's something we, you know, it's obviously through the process that we, you know, we delved into really deeply, because that was pretty important for what we were trying to build at Essendon and where we were coming from. You know, we needed to create real alignment, you know, in our football club, not just our football program, but our football club. And, you know, John was, he's been marvellous at that. And that's, you know, that was clearly the feedback. You know, obviously the process of selecting a senior coach, you deal with enormous amount of due diligence. And that's what we did in talking to a whole range of stakeholders who was involved with both directly and indirectly at West Coast and more broadly his time in football. And that's, you know, that's what they spoke to, you know, really admirably about what John had done. And that's what he's done a fabulous job in that space for our football club. And probably more so now in this modern landscape of AFL football club, it's not just about your senior coach. It's about building a, you know, really good coaching staff around them. But it's the leadership of the senior coach that drives that too.
What about round one, Xavier? A lot of people aren't willing to say that round one is more important than others. But surely, and particularly from a chief executive's perspective, selling hope is very important. Delivering on that hope is quite another thing. But can you honestly say that round one for you and for certain people in footy has a bigger impact than round two, three and four?
Yeah, I don't think it's just another round. You're right. Like round one, you know, it does help get your year off on a really positive note. It's great for your fans. There's no doubt about that. Certainly helps in continuing momentum through your pre-season. Everyone sells great hope through the pre-season. So it's a really important step. And I think on field, it just shows for the players, and for us, you know, we've been working on a whole range of new initiatives and, you know, clearly defence has been a big focus in our pre-season. And to be able to realise that against quality opposition, it's been able to hold up against them, and, you know, we've been able to deliver a win. You know, it's not worth more than 4 points, but it's certainly, there's a lot of intangible elements to a round one win, I think.
Your brand has been hurt. I think you'd be comfortable with openly admitting that over the last few years. We don't need to get back into that. But do you think that Essendon is ready to re-announce itself as one of the powerhouses of the competition? Because Richmond have gone past everyone, not only for being able to build their membership base, you know, they want to have 90,000 members, but they've achieved the ultimate. They've won a flag. Essendon, it feels like you've re-signed your coach, you've been aggressive in the trade period, the members are back on board. It feels like you're on the verge of taking that next step.
Yeah, I hope that's right, Sam. And certainly we've been blessed with such a loyal supporter base. You know, we've been able to grow throughout, you know, a really challenging period, and that's quite unique, you know, for a club that's in that position. And not just, you know, from a member perspective, but from a commercial perspective as well. We're very lucky to have got through that. But, you know, ultimately we exist to win premierships, and that's what, you know, our fans want to see, and that's why, you know, that is our number one focus, to get that right. And Richmond have done exceptionally well. You know, they've built an amazing club on and off the field, and, you know, you're absolutely right. They've set the benchmark for what that looks like, and, you know, it's something for a lot of other clubs to aspire to get to.
Are you close to getting to there?
We're close. I feel like our foundations are really strong. I absolutely do. And we've just announced a really exciting expansion to our facility out Tullamarine. We've got a world-class facility out there, but this will add an even greater emphasis to, you know, a lot of our community work, a lot of our brand work, our girls and women's football programs, our Next Generation Academy programs, and all those sorts of initiatives, which are really important to the heart of the football club. But, you know, ultimately, you know, I think that last piece is football. Absolutely right. And that's what we, you know, we feel like we're building towards something, you know, putting ourselves in a position where we can really compete. You know, it's not, we didn't go and recruit mature age players that were 28, 29, 30 this year. We quite deliberately looked at players that, A, had a particular skill set, but B, were probably in that 23, 24 age bracket, because we want to be able to build towards something and put ourselves in a position to achieve success over a period of time. So I think it's an exciting stage for the footy club, that's for sure.
22 minutes to 7, we're speaking to Essendon Chief Executive Officer Xavier Campbell. Xavier, before we let you go, training camps, I'm not sure if you've been reading too much about it. They're on the forefront of everyone's mind, but as is the term mindfulness, which is coming into vogue, I think, in the last couple of years. Now, Richmond have been at the forefront of this for a little while, but you, as well as the Tigers, and also the Hawks, I think, have been involved with a man by the name of Dr. Jacques Delair, who has a doctorate in exercise physiology. Can you give us any insight into what the Bombers have been doing in this space?
Yeah, and this is probably more the inspiration has been from Dan Richardson in this space. Obviously worked really closely at Richmond last year with Jarks and a number of other programs that they had working last year. I think the landscape now, I mean, it is so competitive and so even, the competition. There's no doubt about that. You know, the guys train harder than they've ever trained. Physically, they exert themselves harder than they ever have. So I think the space of mental toughness, mental skills is increased markedly in the last few years, and Jark's focus and models are all about focusing on the things you can control. Mental toughness is all about being able to, regardless of what's happening and how your circumstances might change throughout a game, regardless of the conditions, being able to have the mental strength to be able to focus on the things you can control. And that's ultimately where a big part of our focus through the preseason, led by Dan in particular, and his philosophy around that has been. And that's probably, complement that with obviously trying to get a good balance off field for players. Ensure that they're building themselves, both their own personal brand, feeling purpose away from football is really important to make sure they have that balance.
So Xavier, not to harp on it, but your program is more around building resilience, but also understanding and being more nurturing of players rather than, potentially trying to break them down, because it is a space you do have to be careful in.
Yeah, I think that's probably where our focus has been. And at different times over the years, I'm sure our focus has shifted. But at the moment, that's been the big focus for us. I think for us, where we've challenged them, if it's necessarily mentally, but a lot of the physical challenge through a lot of really grueling training sessions over the pre-season, that's as much a mental challenge as a physical challenge. But our big specific mental focus has really been about mental skills, preparation, development. That's been good for us.
Xavier, appreciate your time. Congratulations on the win in round one. Let's hope you continue on winning ways against the Dockers on Saturday night.
Thanks very much for having me, Sam.
Xavier Campbell there, the CEO of the Essendon Footy Club. Exciting time to be a Bomber, I reckon. By the way, Essendon fans, become a member today. Help the Bombers fly up this season. It's membership.essendonfc.com.au, or you can call them on 1300 46 26 62. 9429 1116. If you'd like to have your say on the cricket situation or the grand final replay tomorrow night. Richmond fans, how are you feeling going over to the Cauldron? Still as confident as you were heading into the grand final? Love to hear from you. By the way, it is Wednesday, so if you haven't caught up, Adam Cooney yet for Orangey Boom. He's located at IGA, Paul's IGA in Ringwood. There are still 2 6-packs left. The special's running all night. Add some Dutch to your day with Orangey Boom, Holland's finest import lager. This is Time On for the Holden Colorado LTZ. Big on performance, big on technology, and big on safety. I've still got 2 6-packs myself to give away. I've got a double pass to Hawthorn and Geelong on Easter Monday. 9429 1116. We appear to have some breaking news coming out of South Africa. Now, I'm reading off the Twitter account of ABC grandstand commentator Jeff Lemon, who is, from this tweet, is quoting Jim Maxwell. The tweets read as follow. This is Jeff Lemon Sport from ABC Grandstand. Breaking news from Jim Maxwell. Steve Smith and David Warner have been given 12-month bans by Cricket Australia. Smith will face media upon landing in Sydney. Smith will cancel his IPL contract and go overseas elsewhere for a time. Warner will play IPL but not captain. No word on Bancroft. Just reiterating, they are tweets from Jeff Lemon, ABC Grandstand, who is quoting Jim Maxwell. 9429 1116. You happy with that? Unconfirmed reports there from Jeff Lemon out of South Africa. Let's go to the calls. And in Moorabbin, we find Greg. Hello, Greg.
Hey, Sammy. How you doing, champ?
I'm well.
Mate, I was going to say, what's the definition of irony?
Yeah.
The cricketers were holding the gun to Sutherland's head last year demanding more cash. Well, guess who's got the gun now?
Yeah, not sure I like the gun analogy, Greg, but I know exactly where you're going. Greg, 12-month bans harsh or two or not harsh enough?
Mate, I'd just like to know where he does his grocery shopping because the lettuce leaves are really wet down that way, mate. That's disgraceful. He's dragged our Australian name through the mud face first. I heard a bozo on the radio today said, oh, everyone does, it's just we got caught. Yeah, but we're not everyone. We're Australia. We're proud. We're passionate. We're playing the game for the people of the country, not for ourselves, for money. We're representing the crest, which they don't deserve to wear ever again, not for this country.
Greg, do you support the Cats or the Hawks, by any chance?
Sorry, mate.
Do you support the Cats or the Hawks in footy?
Well, geez, don't start me on another subject, mate, because I'm a pretty opinionated individual. I could talk for hours.
Well, but, Greg, you can go to the footy on Easter Monday. You can have a six-pack of beer. What would you like, mate?
Oh, jeez, mate. You are absolutely spoiling me. Footy.
Okay,
footy.
Congratulations. Double pass to Geelong and Hawthorn. Can't believe you took that long to decide between footy and beer. Actually, they're two pretty good things, Greg. Appreciate it. Let's head to your namesake in Glegg Waverley. Hello, Greg.
Sam, I love your show. And all I was going to say is that four blokes involved should be barred for life. I mean, they are representing our country. Now, he gets $2.5 million to play for Rajasthani Royals, Steve Smith. So he's probably on somewhere between $4 and $5 million a year. Same as Warner. Bancroft probably not so much, and Lehman. They should be barred for life. They are representing the people that are earning $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year that pay to go to the cricket, that pay to watch the game, and they're representing those people. Those people are Australia. They're the ones that they're representing are the people, and these guys that are this self, they can go and cheat and do whatever they want and drag Australia's name through the mud. I mean, it's disgraceful. They should be barred for life, and that's the end of it.
Appreciate it, Greg. Love your passion. Hate yourself a six-pack of Orangey Boom, Holland's finest import lager. It's head to Geelong. Hello, Simon.
Hey, Sammy, how are you?
I'm well.
Love the show.
Thank you.
I've been thinking about this long and hard all week. Certainly when the news broke, I was genuinely gutted from someone that has loved cricket, followed cricket, passionate about cricket. Mm. You know, I remember Steve Waugh making all those tons back in 1989, staying up late as a young fella to watch that. Disappointed. But my question is, look, Steve Smith, he was chosen as captain not because of his talent, but obviously his leadership qualities. Surely, regardless of the involvement that David Warner or Bancroft had, he's got to say, listen, fellas, you know, I am the captain here. This is not on. So, you know, there's a question mark about, you know, Steve Smith here. Look, the year ban has just come through. I think it's fair. You know, after all, you know, these guys are human. Banning them, I think, for life, you know, is drastic. They've got families. They've got children. Look, they mucked up. They've made silly mistakes. You know, they've paid for it. They're going to pay for it. For the rest of their lives, they're going to be known for this incident and for this debacle. And they're going to have to live with that. And I think there's a famous quote that says, to err is human, to forgive divine. And I'll leave you with that.
Oh, and for that quote, I'll change you for a six-pack of Orangey Boom as well. We've given away the full slab. Appreciate it, Simon. A point very well made. Couple of texts. McClure, if Jim Maxwell is speaking the truth there, David Warner must never wear a baggy green again. Disgusting. And another one. Sammy, enough already. Let's talk footy. I know, but we're running out of time. Hey, by the way, if you haven't caught Adam Cooney yet, Orangey Boom, it's Paul's IGA in Ringwood. Couple of six-packs still left. Add some Dutch today with Orangey Boom, Holland's finest import lager. This is the Holden, Colorado. Well, it's not. It's time on. Thanks to the Holden, Colorado LTZ. Coming up to the 7 o'clock news, Red Time headlines. Peter Lawler, part of the Australian commentary team, our commentary team for SEN in South Africa, reporting that Smith, Warner and Bancroft are being informed of their actions in the team hotel right as we speak. There are reports from Jim Maxwell of the ABC that Warner and Smith will get a year suspension, with Smith reportedly to opt out of the IPL and travel overseas instead. In other Red Time headlines, Bashir Hooley and Tex Walker are back for tomorrow night's grand final rematch. Tom Lynch and Nick Floston will be missing. Winx's connections have opted to take her out of Royal Ascot. They're having a crack at a fourth straight Cox Plate. And one last one, Dodds, if I can, after the siren. Rory Laird re-signing with the Crows until 2021. That is good news for both parties. Been another jam-packed show. Stay tuned for the Sporting Capital. Talk to you soon.